Rise. Oi, oi, oi. All persons having business before the Honorable United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, draw nigh and give your attention, for this court is now in session. God save the United States and its honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning. We're here this morning to hear the case of Thomas Nielsen versus Secretary. Are counsel ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Would counsel representing the appellant state her name for the record, please?
My name is Kirsten Robbins. I represent the appellant, Byron Thomas M. Nielsen, and with me counsel table is Rick Schaffer.
Welcome. And for the Secretary?
Good morning, Your Honor. On behalf of the Secretary, Pamela Nash, and Deputy Assistant General Counsel David Quinn.
Welcome.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Robbins, you have 30 minutes for argument. Do you wish to reserve any of that time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 10 minutes for rebuttal.
All right. If you're ready to proceed, you may proceed.
Your Honors, the issue before this court is whether service trauma entitling Mr. Nielsen to lifetime dental care requires a physical blow to the mouth or whether it can legally encompass the extraction of almost all veterans' teeth without the benefit of anesthesia in the exigencies of war in a combat zone. The Secretary's brief argues that this matter is determined by General Counsel's Precedential Opinion 597, which this court previously ordered. The Secretary further argues that this opinion is entitled to substantial deference because it interprets VA regulation. But the Secretary's argument is wrong. First, the principal argument of the Secretary is that the General Counsel's opinion is interpreting the regulation and not the statute. But according to the Supreme Court in Gonzales v. Oregon and the Federal Circuit in Cercily v. Peek, which was decided just last week, an agency is not entitled to deference when the regulation merely paraphrases or parrots the statute, as is the case here.
And what is exactly the statute language?
The statute here, service trauma, is used in 38 U.S.C. Section 1712 A1C and implemented by 38 CFR Section 17.161C.
But the statute uses service trauma, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Both the statute and the regulation use the term service trauma.
And it is preceded by the phrase combat?
Combat wounds or other service trauma.
All right. Now, there's no dispute that there was no combat wounds here.
That is correct.
And you indicated in your opening remarks that the exigencies of war in a combat zone.
Yes. The veteran has stated that he was serving in the Korean theater in about 20 miles from the main line of resistance. That he was continually fired upon by the Chinese and North Korean soldiers.
But none of that had any connection to his periodontal disease?
Yeah, no, he is not claiming that that caused his periodontal disease, but it is possible that serving in such a situation, according to the VA's own dentist, exacerbated and caused the trauma that he did indeed suffer.
Now, Are you claiming that periodontal disease is trauma?
We are claiming that there are two possible traumas, or two traumas here. One is that a periodontal disease so severe that it, according to the VA's dentist, threatened the health of the veteran to the point that immediate extractions were needed, immediate extractions of all teeth, is a trauma. But we are also claiming that the extraction, the mass extraction, in the course of less than 1 month without anesthesia and without antibiotics is also a trauma.
So So you're saying that the severity of the periodontal disease under the conditions of war would constitute trauma?
Yes, that is correct, especially when it reaches the level that it is threatening the health of the veteran. Because presumably if Mr. Nielsen had not had these extractions, he would not have been able to continue to serve in the combat zone.
And that's out without regard to his own personal hygiene.
That is correct.
And then, alternatively, the extractions themselves, which would be treatment for the disease.
That is correct. However, in this situation, Mr. Nielsen went through 5 and 6 extractions on a single day multiple times. Only one tooth was pulled with the benefit of anesthesia, and that was because he had gone into shock on that particular day when the 4th tooth was pulled.
I know there are no records in this case as to that those extractions, but do you know what was the reason for needing to extract at that point? Was it so bad that it constituted a adverse consequences to his overall health?
That is our understanding is from the VA's dentist and from the Veterans Contemporaneous Korean War Diary. Those are the only two records we have. And according to the VA's dentist, the only reason that all of a veteran's teeth would be removed in such a short period of time is that the veteran was experiencing an extreme threat to his health and that he was in an intolerable dental pain.
How would you differentiate this from the example that the Supreme Court used in Gardner in that footnote that talked about a situation where a veteran voluntarily has a leg amputated in the face of gangrenous problems?
Well, I'd say here, Mr. Nielsen presumably wouldn't have been unable to serve and very well may have lost his life, according to the VA's dentist, if he had not had the teeth pulled and stemmed this horrible infection. And while the general counsel's concern has been to limit the definition of service trauma so that every veteran who has a cavity pulled while in service is not entitled to Class 2A benefits, I think we've crossed the line here. Almost all of his teeth were extracted in less than 1 month. And it seems that would not be considered a standard procedure or standard dental care.
Okay, but the Supreme Court, in looking at the statute that was involved in Gardner, specifically observed that it would be unreasonable, for example, to believe that Congress intended to compensate veterans for the necessary consequences of treatment to which they consented. And then they use that gangrene example. And what I'm looking for here, counsel, is, you know, what's the difference between that analysis in Gardner and the analysis that you would have us make of a statutory provision in this case? Is there any indication, first of all, let me say this as a warm-up, is there any indication of what the congressional intent was in the statute?
No, there is not. There's no legislative history as to the definition of service trauma, and the only history on Section 1712 is seeking to limit the availability of Class 2A benefits so that they are not available to every single veteran who has served. And that's certainly not what we are positing today. We certainly would not have benefits be resulted.
Have you ever looked at the term dental trauma?
Yes, Your Honor.
And how is that defined?
Dental trauma is not defined in the code as either, I believe. The board has previously defined dental trauma intending to cover external sudden force injury, such as a combat wound to the teeth and jaw. But we would suggest that is too limiting and not supported by the plain meaning of the statute of service trauma.
Service trauma mean trauma in service?
Yes, and the plain meaning of the term trauma is a wrenching or distressing experience that interrupts normal functioning and causes great distress. And I think the removal of all of one's teeth so that one couldn't eat solid foods or chew and was in intolerable pain, I think any reasonable person would say that was great distress and that it was a wrenching experience.
But the statute says combat wound or service trauma. So if you're not wounded in combat, then they're recognizing some other type of incident, perhaps?
Yes. The board has also, under its definition of dental trauma, held that injuries to teeth from a car accident occurring during service, falling down a hill, falling while climbing a ladder, and getting into a fight in the barracks constitute service traumas. Mm-hmm. And what we would argue is that it is not reasonable to draw the line so that a soldier who gets into a fight in the barracks and chips a tooth is entitled to Class 2A benefits, but a veteran who sacrificed and lost all of his teeth so that he could continue to serve in this combat zone is not also entitled to Class 2A benefits. We don't think that there's anything in the plain meaning of the statute that would support that definition. And under Brown v. Gardner, as you had cited, statutory ambiguities have to be resolved in Mr. Nielsen's favor.
But he got non-compensable service connection because of his condition, did he not?
Yes, he was service connected in 1992.
Right. But the question is, does he get outpatient treatment?
Outpatient dental treatment. Essentially, what he's been seeking for 18 years with this claim is dentures, is a new pair of dentures.
A new pair of dentures?
A new pair of dentures.
He did get some dentures at Eglin Air Force Base before or shortly after leaving service, am I correct?
That's correct. It was 7 months after his teeth were pulled. He received his first set of dentures.
Counsel, is there anything in the record to indicate what the cause for the veteran's periodontal disease was?
No, there is not, because his service medical records are missing and presumed destroyed. The only contemporaneous record we have is his Korean War diary, in which he states that they were abscessed. That's what the dentist told him. And then we also have the VA's dental examination.
So he came in the service at about 19 years old. And do you have any information that suggests this disease could have occurred during the time he was in service or prior to the time he was in service?
There is nothing that suggests that it was prior to the service. And the veteran has said that he did not have problems with his teeth prior to the service. But there's nothing in the record, no.
Okay. Suppose the veteran had been hit in the mouth with the butt of a rifle. What would the service trauma, and the teeth needed to be extracted, what would the service trauma be in that instance?
Under the general counsel and the VA's interpretation of service trauma, it would be the act of being hit in the mouth with the rifle, and if there was proof in the record that the veteran had been treated for such a trauma, then that veteran would be entitled to Class 2A benefits consistent with that injury. For example, if tooth number 3 had been injured or chipped, then the veteran was service connected for tooth number 3, he would be entitled to Class 2A benefits for tooth number 3.
Yeah, but let's say that the force of the blow required all his teeth to be extracted under the same circumstances as here, with or without some anesthetic.
Well, I think...
What would be the service trauma in that instance?
In that instance, I think there's potentially two. There's the force of getting hit in the mouth with the rifle, because that is a cause of the mass extractions. If the mass extractions, like here, are undertaken in quick succession without pain medication, then we would suggest that and argue that the extractions were also a trauma.
And in the context of the regulation, 1712 in the statute, as the Chief Judge indicated, the preceding language is due to combat wounds or other service trauma. Does that provide you any guidance on the nature of the injury or potential traumas that could occur in the context of combat wounds or other service trauma or of a former prisoner of war?
I think the term other is one that clearly distinguishes a service trauma from a combat wound or for something that would have been experienced by a prisoner of war. And here, again, the extractions of the veteran's teeth were presumably undertaken because of a severe threat to his health, which would have been endangering his ability to serve. And so that was a trauma. It was a wrenching and distressing experience that was related and may have, in fact, been caused by his service. And so I think it is consistent to read what happened to Mr. Nielsen as a service trauma when looking at combat wounds and being a prisoner of war as other sources of outpatient dental benefits.
So the concern that the general counsel's opinion addresses, that being opening up the department to paying for extractions. I take it that your position is that this is really a distinguishable situation and can be distinguished from the run-of-the-mill cavity filling and or any other extraction.
Yes, that is correct, Your Honor. Again, it's the without antibiotics, without anesthesia, the number of extractions in such a short period of time, to the point where the veteran is going into shock. I mean, if you or I walk into a VA, dental hospital and have a cavity filled or our wisdom teeth removed, we are not undergoing the same type of procedure that Mr. Nielsen did.
But I guess you have to add another element there, too. And I guess without the knowledge of the basis for the problem, because really it's either elective surgery or elective extractions upon which I don't see how you can get there. Or if it's an emergency, then the question is, what caused the emergency? If it was an external force over which you had no control, then that's what VA would seem to be suggesting in the statute. But if you had control over your personal hygiene, for instance, where you could have controlled the gum disease that did not lead to this emergency, should there be some distinction there?
There could potentially be a distinction there, and again, there's nothing in the record here to suggest that the infection that Mr. Nielsen suffered was in any way caused by his lack of oral hygiene, to be distinguished from a veteran who comes into the service, and it's noted in his service medical record that he already has severe gingivitis or periodontal disease. Here, we don't have that. And the presumption is therefore made that he did not. The VA's dentist has said it is certainly possible that service under these conditions caused this raging infection. And if that's the case, that is a cause over which Mr. Nielsen did not have control, just the same as he does not have control over being hit in the mouth with a rifle. But I would suggest that the veteran who got into a fight in the barracks, he might have had some control. I don't know the circumstances of that fight. It's not in the board's opinion. But he may potentially have had some control over his dental trauma. But he was still...
Well, there's all kinds of possibilities there, obviously. I mean, either you're assaulted and you didn't give a consent to it, or you were in a mutual fray, which might have resulted into misconduct, which would not allow him to be service-connected for it. So it's all kinds of variables there.
Sure.
But clearly... You would agree that in the general sense, trauma comes from some external cause.
Yes, I would say it generally would come over a cause under which you do not have control. And again, we do not assert that Mr. Nielsen had control over this infection. Otherwise, the VA dentists would have been able to contain it without such a drastic remedy.
And he had no other choice but to agree to have the extraction?
That's what he has said, yes, that he had no choice but to have all of his teeth removed, and that if he had had a choice, he most certainly would not have undergone these procedures.
What was that?
If he had had a choice, he has told me on many occasions, he would not have undergone all of this pain and these procedures.
Well, is that in the record anywhere, counsel?
His diary, it could be extrapolated from his diary. His diary talks about the intolerable pain that he was in. So it would be extrapolated from the record.
Okay. And
but he does not contend that he was forced. That some dentist just said, "Hey, I want to pull out all your teeth," and they took out his teeth.
He said that they told him that the infection was so severe that his only option was to have all of his teeth removed. That's what he has said.
I'd like to go back to the OGC opinion for a minute. 1994, this court sent this case back to VA with the direction to get direction from the general counsel as to what its regulation meant.
Yes.
And the general counsel's opinion starts out saying it intends to answer the question of what the regulation means. And your position, I believe, is that we owe no deference to that GC opinion.
Yes, that is correct. It is entitled to respect to the extent that it has the power to persuade under Skidmore v. Swift. And we do not believe, because it is so exclusive and fails to consider the facts of Mr. Nielsen's case and apply a definition to Mr. Nielsen's case, that it is unreasonable and therefore unpersuasive.
And under those circumstances, then, you would say that it falls to this court to interpret this service trauma, those two words.
Yes, that is correct. Because the facts consist of his contemporaneous Korean War diary and the record is not in dispute, we would say that it's a de novo issue as to the meaning of service trauma, and we'd ask that you rule on the definition of service trauma as a matter of law, because the board's decision held that Mr. Nielsen was not entitled to Class 2A as a matter of law.
How would you define service trauma, then?
We would define service trauma to include external blows, as well as, you know, the extraction of all a veteran's teeth due to severe health reasons without antibiotics and anesthesia.
Right. Would it be so all of the teeth?
All of the teeth. Yes, all of the teeth. This is not a case where
now, all of his teeth weren't extracted.
I'm sorry, excuse me, nearly all of his teeth. Nearly all of his teeth.
Your time is up. You'll have your 10 minutes, and we'll give any additional time to the government if we have to get there.
I have a couple of questions. I have a question.
You want to do it now?
Yeah. Counsel, in the diary of the appellant, on the record on appeal on page, I think it's 92, I'm not sure if I'm reading this correctly, but I wanted to know what you had gleaned from it. The appellant writes, had two teeth out of this morning.
Yes.
One had, and I can't make out the word, of a hook on it.
Yes.
What?
I think it's supposed to be a real hook on it. And then he follows with, did not get note requesting special foods.
Okay.
I believe there might be another copy. Let's see if there's another in the record. Yeah, on page 162 is another copy. I think it's a little larger. And I think that's supposed to be a bit. one had a bit of a hook on it.
Right.
I think that he was describing the difficulty within which that tooth was removed.
Okay. And then on the record on page 353, which is Dr. Esquivel's report, consultation form.
Yes. Yes.
The dentist says, my first assumption is that Mr. Nielsen had a chronic or acute infection of the periodontium, which could have been exacerbated by poor living conditions, suggesting that there was some infection obviously existing prior to his examination. Right.
Well, this doctor examined Mr. Nielsen in 1995. It was not contemporaneous, but...
Right. But his report discusses, basically, according to his testimony, in diary excerpts.
Yes, Mr. Nielsen had entered the service in 1950, and so it's certainly possible that the infection would have arisen between 1950 and August of 1952, when the extractions began.
Okay.
If there's nothing further, I will reserve my time then for rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers.
Thank you.
Ms. Nash? Set the clock.
May it please the court. The question before the court is whether a veteran who receives dental treatment in service can later obtain Class II dental benefits by attempting to construe that dental treatment as an injury. The Secretary's position is that he cannot. Class II dental benefits authorizes treatment which is reasonably necessary for the correction of a non-compensable dental condition when that condition is the result of a combat wound or other service trauma or POW captivity. Here, the veteran's teeth were removed during service as the result of a periodontal infection. He was granted service connection for the extractions with a specific finding of no service trauma, no combat dental injuries. He was assigned a non-compensable condition. As the appellant has conceded, this was potentially life-saving treatment. Because the tooth extraction...
When did he enter service, counsel?
September 1950, Your Honor.
1950?
Yes,
when
Your
did
Honor.
He go to Korea?
I don't have the exact date, but his diary entries are dated September 1952 with regard to the tooth extractions.
Is there anything in the record that indicates why the service would have sent him to Korea if he had serious dental problems at that point?
No, there's not, Your Honor. What the Secretary has made of his condition was really based on the presumption of soundness. The teeth were present on entry, the teeth were absent on separation. Other than that, no findings have been made about the condition of the teeth on entry.
If we assume that he got normal dental treatment when he was going through basic training or whatever, and that his dental condition was such that it wasn't life-threatening or wasn't in an extreme condition when he was sent to Korea, wouldn't that be a different case when he subsequently developed in a combat theater periodontal disease that put him in an emergent condition? Isn't that a different case from normal dental treatment?
If so, Your Honor, we would have treated it differently. He's received service connection for loss of teeth.
Mm-hmm.
In the scenario that Your Honor suggests, he may have sought service connection under the rating schedule 9900 series, in which periodontal disease is specifically accepted, and loss of teeth due to periodontal disease is not compensable. We do not grant service connection for it. So if that were the scenario, if the claim before the court were, I had periodontal disease in service and would like to be service connected for it, that claim would have been denied because it has been specifically accepted. We only grant service connection in that case for loss of bone or loss of the ridge between the tooth and the jaw. so periodontal disease would not, as a service-connectable condition, would not get Class II dental benefits. We wouldn't get there. The Secretary's position is essentially that the tooth extractions were not performed as the result of a combat wound or other service trauma. Therefore, the claim for benefits has failed, and the Board was correct in denying the benefit.
Counsel, what is other service trauma?
Our reading of other service trauma, Your Honor, is that it is a class of veterans, those who have sustained combat wound or other service trauma in one cohesive piece. So an other service trauma would be something akin to a combat wound.
Is there any possibility that extractions could be done in such a way as to constitute service trauma?
By a dentist or a field medic, the Secretary would say no, Your Honor. To the extent that we're getting into appellant's argument that it was distressing or psychologically traumatic, we would say that dental benefits would not be the remedy.
Or physically painful.
Even physical pain. To that extent, this provision only provides the correction of a condition. If the condition is physical pain, then the treatment mightn't be to send the veteran to a dentist, but maybe to provide painkillers. If it was a psychologically distressing experience, the treatment might be to see a psychologist.
Now, to your knowledge, there's no allegation that during the extraction itself there was some type of malpractice or negligence that went beyond the extraction?
To the best of our understanding, in the attempt to recreate the record, the VA dentist has said this was an emergency situation. This was to potentially save his life, and the only reason the VA dentist could see for these conditions was lack of supplies. As appellant has said, he was 20 miles from a combat zone, and the best care available in the field is the best care available in the field.
The VA dentist also said, I would say that multiple extractions without anesthetic would be a traumatic experience.
Yes, Your Honor, the Secretary reads that to be a psychologically traumatic experience, which could not be corrected by dental benefits. In fact, the Secretary provides benefits for post-traumatic stress disorder as a psychological condition.
Counsel, if you had all your teeth taken out on the battlefield, you think you'd only have a psychological traumatic experience, or you think it would hurt?
To the extent that it would be physically painful, it would hurt during the course of and during the healing. I would have a hard time finding that the veteran is still experiencing that pain 50 years later.
But at the time, it would hurt.
And at the time, he was provided the best treatment available, and he was in the service at that time. 50 years later, he's seeking something entirely different.
How are we to interpret this statute? I think I understand the Secretary's position, but let's assume for a minute that the court goes back to Gardner and the pro-veteran premise that underlies the Supreme Court's view of how we interpret statutes that involve veterans' benefits. Part of that analysis is to consider each specific statute in the context of the whole. And given the way that other injuries are treated in the statutory scheme, why is it that we would not consider trauma in this case to include an intent by Congress to give this man dentures as a result of near total tooth extraction in a combat zone?
Your Honor, to the extent that the dental benefits statute is to be read as a cohesive whole, the Secretary would advance the argument that it is a scale which provides everything from a one-time corrective treatment all the way up to general ongoing dental care. And within that broad scheme, this is a very narrow category. Congress has created these individual categories of dental benefits, and we're talking about this particular one, This particular one has been narrowed as to who can obtain dental benefits, somebody who has undergone a combat wound or other service trauma, or a prisoner of war. And they've also limited what kind of dental benefits can that veteran get. Although this veteran would like to have new dentures, what the benefit that is available is treatment for the correction of the condition. In order to get new dentures, a dentist would have to find what the current condition was and what the necessary treatment was. There's certainly no guarantee that any specific treatment that the veteran would like is the necessary corrective treatment. And that is what Congress has limited this class to.
Do we have any information? I guess he would have been entitled to one time, within 90 days or 180 days after discharge, maybe getting another set of dentures?
If he had applied within that time frame, Your Honor, then there would have been a one-time corrective treatment. However, because he was provided dentures during service, it may have been unnecessary at that time mm-hmm. There may have been nothing to correct. We don't know the answer to that, but we do know that the application was not made in that 90-day window, and that's not the class of dental benefits that's before the court now. This is an extremely narrow provision into which this veteran does not happen to factually fit.
It's almost, well, no.
To the extent that the court is reviewing the definition of what is a service trauma, the Secretary would advance very simply that it is an injury, that it is likened by statute to a combat wound, and that it does not include treatment for a life-threatening condition. The General Counsel has advanced this position, the Board has relied upon it, and the Board did not err in denying dental benefits in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Robbins, you have 10 minutes.
Your Honors, I believe we've made the bulk of our argument previously, so I will leave the court with the one point if there are no further questions, and that is the plain meaning of the term trauma is not an injury. The plain meaning of the term trauma is a wrenching or distressing experience. And therefore, if one is to look at the plain meaning of the statute and to resolve statutory ambiguities in favor of the veteran, then the board and the general counsel's opinion have not done so. As I said previously, we think this is a de novo issue, and they've ruled as a matter of law.
Where did your plain meaning definition come from, counsel?
Webster's Dictionary, Your Honor.
Good old Webster's.
And the general counsel apparently looked at other sources.
Yes, Your Honor.
And
under both medical dictionary.
Which Webster's?
If you give me just a moment, I can let you know.
New Collegiate, International, or New World?
I believe it was New World. Okay, specific definitions I quoted were from Random House's Webster's College Dictionary and the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language. And in our brief, we also cited Dorland's medical dictionary, in which we believe Mr. Nielsen's experience would also constitute a trauma.
Well, Dorland says a wound or injury, whether physical or psychic. Is that the one you have?
No, Your Honor. What I have is pathological changes in a tooth and its surrounding structures produced by abnormal occlusal stresses. In dentistry, an alteration in tissue that may occur at any time as a result of existing dental disharmony.
Dental disharmony?
Yes, Your Honor. It's at page 14 to 15 of our brief, our opening brief.
What if that was congenital?
Presumably, I am not as familiar with the statutes, but my understanding is that if one has a congenital condition that was latent and became a problem during service, that one could become service-connected for that injury. But Your Honors are more familiar with those sections of the code than I am. But if that is the case, I would see no reason to treat a latent dental condition that congenital condition differently for dental.
I'm just going to throw out a hypothetical here.
Sure.
And I'm not a dentist, but
neither
I have a lot
am
of
I.
relatives that are. If you were, say, suppose they had cut the gum in order to fold it back and put bone marrow in to build the bone up for the periodontal disease, would that cutting of the gum constitute trauma?
I think it depends on whether or not it was done with antibiotics and anesthesia, and whether or not it interrupted the normal functioning of the veteran. Here, Mr. Nielsen was unable to eat or chew solid foods for 7 months until he received dentures. And so certainly his normal functioning was disrupted. Under your hypothetical, I'm unable to determine whether or not that veteran's functioning would have been disrupted.
So we go back to your initial statement then. We narrowly place this case in your position within the exigencies of the Korean conflict.
Yes, that's correct.
And I don't know specifically where in Korea he was located, but let's presume for the moment that in the absence of records that he's in an area which you just can't go down to your daily dentist and get periodontal care. And in fact, the water conditions, the eating conditions, which are nil, but the water conditions are bad. In fact, you drink the water, you get more bacteria in your mouth, and that exacerbates the gum disease.
Yes.
And so the more you drink, the worse it gets.
Yes.
And but for being in that combat condition, it would not have occurred.
I think that's correct. That's the conclusion the VA's dentist came to, is that he said that it was possible that if the veteran had received standard dental care not in the field, that he would not have had to lose all of his teeth, or nearly all of his teeth. The remaining three were pulled upon his return to the States.
Any other questions? All right. The case is submitted. We will greet counsel at the bar, and the court will be adjourned.
All right.
Thank you.
So the court is adjourned to further order.